I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There. This is a podcast about the outdoors, from your window box and garden, to the fields on the edge of town, to the forests, prairies, seashores, and wilderness. On the show, we explore our relationship with nature through stories, interviews, essays, and even some fiction. We travel around the U.S. and the world with tales of love and heartbreak, passion and adversity, desperation and triumph. Ever since humans have lived in cities, we've fantasized about leaving those cities, about packing up and heading out for the wilderness, even if just for a short while. As far back as the ancient Romans, poets like Virgil seemed to just sense that nature is therapeutic. And even today, when so many of us live in big cities, that urge to heal ourselves with the outdoors remains a powerful need. Just look at the blockbuster 2014 movie Wild. The protagonist, Cheryl Strayed, describes her trek along the Pacific Crest Trail as a kind of extended rehab.
How about you? Why are you here?
I don't know. I just need to find something in myself, you know? I think the trail is good for that. I mean, look. This has the power to fill you up again if you let it.
But what if nature had the opposite effect on you? What if being around plants made your skin crawl? Today's episode of Out There is about a woman who has botanophobia, which is just what it sounds like, a fear of plants. Reporter Chelsea Davis has the story.
That's right, a fear of plants. And if you're scoffing right now, you're not the first person to do so.
I get used to it whenever people hear my story, their first reaction was, you know, to laugh. What phobia? Is it really? Does it really exist?
This is Tiara Lin, and she's here to tell you that yes, botanophobia does exist. It's extremely rare, but it's very real. And in Tiara's case, it's very powerful.
Whenever I saw a plant, I would feel like I could not breathe. Oh my God, it's really scary. I feel like I was going to die.
Tiara wasn't born with this phobia. In fact, quite the opposite. Until her senior year of high school, Tiara was a nature lover. Although she lived in a very urban area in southern China called Xinhui, she longed for more green spaces. So she sought them out wherever she could. Her favorite thing to do after school was to head to one of the city's parks with her friends. And on the weekends, she planned hiking trips with her parents to nearby mountains. Everything about being in nature brought her joy. The wild animals, the fresh air, the sight of trees.
The quietness. It's really quiet out there. You don't hear any like noises from the city. And sunshine was so great, so warm.
But it was that very passion for the outdoors that would soon cause her fateful breakup with it. When Tiara was a senior in high school, back in 2000, she was on one of her frequent outings with friends to a local park. They settled down in a spot near some tall bushes. They gossiped and joked around for a few hours, and then they went home. So far, so normal. But the next morning,
when I woke up, I saw half of my body were covered by itching and swelling lumps. They were all red and I was terrified. I had no idea what happened. So I cried and called my mom. My mom took me to the hospital.
The doctor there told Tiara she was having an allergic reaction. Red bumps spread all over her skin, from her shoulders to her feet, and they wouldn't go away.
I was so ashamed. I didn't want to go to school, but it was the last year of high school. I could not miss any classes. So I had to go. People were laughing at me. It was such a painful experience. I couldn't sleep. It lasted about a month until I fully recovered.
Tiara's doctor said that this massive allergic reaction had probably been caused by a bug bite. Tiara thought back to the places she'd been the day before the rash began, and it dawned on her. The park with her friends. and those huge bushes nearby, and the insects that might have been inside. And as she pictured those bushes and the swarms of bugs crawling along their branches, she began to feel nauseous.
If this is a plant, you don't know where it's hiding. The insect, it might be, you know, behind the leaves or it might be on top of you. I have this feeling that they are everywhere. They must be somewhere, hiding somewhere to attack me.
Now, it's not the insects themselves that spooked Tiara. In fact, she's never had a problem with bugs, as long as they're out in the open. It was specifically this combination of plant plus unseen insect that was quickly becoming intolerable for her. She soon discovered, after the park incident, that whenever she would see something leafy, her body would rev up into fight or flight mode.
I'll panic. Shortness of breath and anxiety. And I sweat a lot.
No plant was safe. Whether outside or indoors, whether as large as a tree or as small as a seedling. And that meant no more buying flowers for friends or houseplants for her family's home. And touching plants, or actually entering a forest, out of the question.
Every morning my dad would go to do exercises, to go hiking in the mountain, every morning at 5 a.m. I wanted to join him so much, but I couldn't go. Because, you know, I have this phobia.
Overnight, city parks had gone from being Tiara's sanctuary, the places she would go to get away from it all, to the places she avoided like the plague.
I couldn't even sit on the grass.
Tiara was suddenly cut off from the natural world that had once brought her such peace, such escape from city living. But even though she felt this loss of the wilderness in her life, Tiara kept her phobia a secret from her family. Actually, she still hasn't told them to this day.
I don't want to get my mom worried. She might think it's a disease or something. She might take me to see the doctor, and I don't know if I can trust the doctor.
In fact, Tiara has never sought formal treatment for her phobia. That's in part because of her unease with doctors. She says she assumes they would put her on medication, which she really doesn't want to take. And although in reality, that's probably not how a phobia would be treated, the possibility was enough to put her off the whole idea. But Tiara also didn't seek treatment because it would have meant drawing more attention to her phobia, a phobia she found embarrassing. It wasn't something she wanted people to find out about if she could help it. But soon, Tiara left her hometown and her family for college. And as she began forming new relationships there, it became harder for her to hide her fear from others. In fact, there was at least one category of person that Tiara found she more or less had to let in on the secret.
Mostly my boyfriends, because they might send me flowers, which I don't like flowers, I cannot touch them. And one sent me flowers and threw it into the trash bin right in front of him. He was really pissed. And another one had a giant plant in his bedroom, the size of me, which stopped me going into his bedroom for a really long time. He was wondering why it took me so long to develop a more intimate in our relationship.
Tiara's fear of plants was literally getting in the way of her ability to form relationships with other people. And those people's reactions to her phobia didn't help her sense of shame either. Even when she would work up the courage to tell friends or partners about her unusual phobia, they simply wouldn't believe her at first. That was the case with Tiara's current boyfriend, a guy named Tinghao Chang. One evening, Tiara and Ting were going for a stroll outdoors in Geneva, the city where they both live now.
We were walking on the riverside with a lot of like nature, bushes and trees, which was really beautiful, especially just in the city. And some bushes were really close by.
Just a nice bit of scenery from Ting's perspective. But as the couple approached the bushes, a change came over Tiara.
She just, all of a sudden, she just told me, She has that type of plant phobia. She just brought that out of blue. I thought that was just a joke. It just kind of it came into my left ear and went out in the other side.
In fact, Ting took Tiara's confession so lightly that just a week later, he arranged another romantic date that also starred plants. He wanted to cook an Italian meal at Tiara's apartment, so he bought fresh ingredients for the dish, including little vases of live basil and coriander plants.
And when she saw them, she was like, oh, thank you. And then she asked me to put them on the table, and it looks like she didn't want to touch it. And she reminded me again, I told you that I have a plant phobia. And I was like, seriously, with this tiny, plants?
Later, Tiara's roommate came home. He and Ting got to joking about Tiara's sour reaction to the herbs that Ting had brought.
I kind of want to make fun of her. So I just hold her from behind, really, so she couldn't move. She couldn't escape or something. And the other guy, her flatmate, just took those two vases and tried to approach her, tried to put those plants in front of her face. She started struggling, screaming, and fighting, using her elbow, and tried to drop herself on the floor using her weight. And the way how she struggled was so violently, and I was really shocked.
Had you ever seen anyone struggle that way before in your direct experience?
Well, I guess only in movies, when someone approaches the other person with a knife. So then, I thought that now this is serious. Then immediately after that, I apologized.
Tiara accepted Ting's apology and they patched things up. But she was starting to feel desperate. Her phobia was warping both her relationships to other humans and her relationship to nature itself. She missed having a normal dating life. She missed the peace she used to feel in the woods. It felt like a part of her was gone. Tiara knew she had to do something to make a change. Finally, in 2012, an opportunity presented itself. At that time, Tiara was working as a journalist for the Global Times, a Chinese newspaper. She and a colleague were on assignment in Nepal, researching a travel story about the country. They were doing all sorts of touristy things for work, visiting temples, going on elephant rides. And then Tiara heard about a jungle walk. That's right, a jungle walk. She began to think, what if this was her chance? What if she could enter the jungle, that plantiest of planty places, and face her fear head on? What if she could conquer it? Once the idea took root in her mind, she didn't give herself time to back down.
We booked a trip in the evening, and then the next morning, we have to go. If you want to do it, you have to do it right now. You cannot wait.
Tiara is a tough, no-nonsense woman. And today, when she talks about booking the jungle trek, she's pretty nonchalant about it. But at the time, the prospect must have been terrifying. For 2 hours, she would be in Plant City. Overgrown foliage everywhere, vines hanging down, plenty of the dark, moist hiding places that mega-sized tropical bugs probably love best. Even I get a little creeped out when I think about it. So it's no surprise to me that on the evening before the trek, Tiara made a few preparations. First priority, she knew she was going to have to see plants in the jungle, but she was not going to be touching them if she could help it.
I look through the closest all I have. I can cover my bodies, my shoes, but I needed a hat to cover my head. And also I needed a mask because I don't want my face out there. So I use a scarf to cover my mouth and my nose. All you could see is my eyes.
And she made mental preparations too. She tried to draw courage from the other times she'd been brave. For instance, working as a war correspondent in Libya in 2011, she told herself,
nothing is more dangerous than a war zone. So if I survive in the war zone, I can survive in the jungle. Yeah.
Once Tiara had her protective gear and her protective mindset tuned up, it was time to head for the jungle. Early the next morning, Tiara and her coworker hopped on a bus leaving Kathmandu. 7 grueling hours later, they reached their destination, Chitwan National Park, a 360-square-mile stretch of forest and grasslands in southern Nepal. As the bus entered the park, Tiara looked out her window to see nothing but green.
A lot of trees, trees and trees.
Seeing all those trees, she panicked.
My thought was like, oh, maybe it's the wrong idea. I mean, I should have tried something easier.
But at this point, Tiara didn't have much of a choice.
It's too late to say no. You know, I was not alone. I was with other tourists and I was with my colleague. If I said no, people would blame me. It would be really embarrassing.
So there was only one thing left to do. Tiara followed the other 3 tourists off the bus. At the trailhead, she paused. The path before her was little more than a dark emerald tunnel paved with vines. She took a deep breath and took a step down the trail. Then another, then another.
The first reaction I had was I couldn't breathe. I feel like I was trapped into a box or something. A lot of trees, like the tree was really tall and they were everywhere.
Everywhere, including in the path itself. It turns out this trail wasn't used very often. Thick branches and spider webs had grown across the group's path.
You really have to use a stick or use a knife to cut the tree to make the way in.
Use a knife?
Yeah, my tour guide, he used a knife.
Tiara was on the verge of a meltdown, but she couldn't turn back now. The group had already gone ahead, and she wasn't sure she could find her way back without them. More importantly, part of her just needed to know she could finish this trek.
So I tried to calm myself down by not looking up at the sky, because when I looked up, all I could see was trees. So I looked down on the floor. I kept walking.
And in her head, too, Tiara played calm-down games with herself.
Try to think of something else instead of, like, drag your mind out of the reality. Keep thinking something else. Things like, what if we run into a tiger? Who would a tiger eat first? Hopefully not me. I'm really skinny and little. You know, some silly things to distract myself from the reality that I was in a jungle.
Slowly, the distraction began to work. As minutes and steps and breaths ticked by, Tiara felt more and more in control. Here she was, up very close and personal with oceans of leaves and stems, and yet they weren't spewing swarms of hidden bugs at her. That horrifying vision, that fear, it lived entirely in her mind, and her mind was under her control. Eventually, Tiara even started to kind of like being in the jungle, or at least to like the idea that she was in the jungle.
I feel like normal. Like normal people can do it. I can do it as well.
This was the feeling, that sense of total immersion in the wild that she'd been missing for so long. By the end of the trail, Tiara was smiling.
I was really proud of myself. I made it. It's an amazing feeling.
And that amazing feeling didn't go away when Tiara left the jungle, or even when she left Nepal.
The Nepal trip was a breakthrough in my journey to overcome the phobia. Oh, it totally changed my life.
When she got back home from Nepal, it was like a switch had been flipped. Activities in nature that Tiara used to avoid were back on the menu. All of a sudden, she could sit in her beloved city parks again. All of a sudden, she could visit friends who had plants in their apartments. And as for hiking, that full-on immersion in the wilderness?
Here in Geneva, I have been hiking every month to the mountains, a lot of places around here.
In fact, Tiara is often the one who proposes to her friends that they go hiking. So she's not just not avoiding nature, she's actively seeking it out now. and Tiara's friends have noticed this change in her. Ting, her boyfriend, certainly has. They recently took a trip together to Fribourg, a verdant city in the west of Switzerland.
We found a beautiful corner, like a grass-filled area, like just next to a little river, and that was beautiful. So we sat on it, and she also sat on it. And a while later, I just noticed, hey, Tiara, aren't you sitting on the green stuff, like plants? And she was like, she realized, oh, yeah, I'm actually sitting on it. And I asked her, don't you need any protection or something to isolate yourself with that? She said, no, it's fine in this case.
Now, the way that Tiara attacked her plant fear, her approach, it was pretty off the grid. As I mentioned earlier, she's resisted formal treatment for her phobia. But funnily enough, the informal strategy she ended up using actually isn't all that different from the most common formal method for treating specific phobias. The method I'm referring to is known as exposure therapy.
And so what that means is approaching the thing that creates fear and staying in that situation until you learn that your reasons for being afraid don't make sense.
This is Michael Tompkins, a licensed psychologist. He specializes in cognitive behavioral therapy for anxiety disorders, including specific phobias. Tompkins says that exposure therapy is the industry standard for specific phobias of all varieties, whether the person has a problem with spiders or needles or plants. The therapist's basic action plan is to guide someone through facing the object of their phobia again and again with gradually increasing intensity. So you start small.
Like in the example of someone with a plant phobia, if she was able to sit in this room with a plant, I would have her sit in this room with the plant and look at this plant. And while she tells me how anxious she's feeling, and I would ask her what's going through her head and what is she thinking about her anxious response and what is she learning.
Hopefully what the client is learning at this early stage is that her beliefs that the feared object will harm her are mistaken. She can, indeed, sit in a room with a plant without it harming her.
As she becomes more comfortable then, I might ask her to sit a little closer to the plant, or I might ask her to touch the plant, or I might ask her to hold the plant, or I might ask her gradually to move toward putting her face in the plant. I might ask her to break off a leaf and rub the leaf on her face. And then ultimately, I would want maybe to go to her home and have her and to her workplace and actually do exposures to plants where she can actually then learn I can handle my anxious response if I encounter a plant in this context.
Exposure therapy tends to work really well for people who complete it. It's one of the great success stories of modern psychology. And Tompkins says even people like Tiara who try this on their own can sometimes fix their own problems. Around 15% of people with specific phobias report that they just get over the phobia without the help of a therapist. That's because they don't avoid the feared object. They make themselves face it head on, like Tiara did. But Tompkins also warns that this ad hoc approach might not always work perfectly. For example, someone might be able to cure themselves of their fear of the phobic object in a particular context, say, plants in a jungle. But they might still be blindsided if they encounter that object in a different situation or form. And yeah, in Tiara's case, there are still situations where she isn't 100% comfortable with plants.
I could walk in the jungle, but I would try not to touch them directly.
Touching plants remains the major sticking point for Tiara. For instance, these days, she sometimes buys flowers at the grocery store for her friends. Big improvement. And yet,
I just ask them to wrap up the flowers so I can send it to other people, but I don't want to receive flowers. It's really scary for me.
Do you keep plants in your house?
No, absolutely no. No.
But the thing is, Tiara seems fine with this state of affairs. And maybe that's okay. When I asked her what it feels like when she walks into a park these days, I could practically hear her grinning on the other side of our Skype call.
Just feel so good to be part of the nature. Feel normal, feel free.
That feeling of freedom that nature brings, it's something that's easy for many of us to take for granted. But Tiara was willing to work for it, to work really hard. She had this will for the wilderness, this longing to get back in the woods, despite the fact that the woods were also the thing she dreaded the most. Her facing that fear shows just how deeply the need for nature is ingrained in human nature. Just how deeply we long for the healing touch of the forest, even if the first thing we have to heal is our relationship with the forest itself.
Chelsea Davis brought us that story. Chelsea is an independent radio producer based in the San Francisco Bay Area. You can hear more of her work at chelseadavisradio.com. The music in her story included works by Kevin MacLeod. Before you go, I have a favor to ask. If you know someone who you think would enjoy Out There, tell them about the show. Encourage them to listen and subscribe. Point them to our website, which is outthereshow.com. Getting more listeners makes it possible to raise the money we need to keep this show operating. And word of mouth, i.e. you telling your friends about the podcast, is the best way to grow listenership. Speaking of money, a big thank you to Paul Hamilton and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. You can make a donation too. Just go to outthereshow.com and click support. That's it for this episode. Our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.